Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Coming up next on Bulldog Live, we're going to talk about local gun bans. Oh, are they permissible? Well, let's see. Judging by some signage, judging by some selectmen's actions, we'll talk about it here on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live as we introduce for you Second Amendment attorney Penny Dean. How are you?
You.
Whoo, boy. You know, the topic that I see you want to talk about today is something very good, because it kind of goes in with what I discovered late last week in riding around Concord, and that is this idea of having local gun bans.
Isn't it funny? I thought we had this law regarding statewide preemption. I remember being there when it passed.
Well, silly you. You've talked about this once or twice before, and oh, let me see. It's in RSA 159-26.
I thought it was. It was there yesterday.
Okay.
They didn't erase it, so I know it's good.
And I just talked with Senator Jeb Bradley. He didn't say anything about that they repealed it.
Yeah, and we would have heard about it. And so the bottom line is, it says firearms and ammunition, authority of the state. To the extent consistent with federal law, the state of New Hampshire shall have authority and jurisdiction over the sale, purchase, ownership, use, possession, transportation, licensing, permitting, taxation, or other matter, I think they should have put matters plural, pertaining to firearms, firearm components, ammunition, or firearm supplies in the state, except as otherwise specifically provided by statute, no ordinance or regulation of a political subdivision, that means a town or city, may regulate the sale, purchase, ownership, use, possession, transportation, licensing, permitting, taxation, or other matters pertaining to firearms, firearm components, ammunition, or firearm supplies in the state. And so this basically says that all these little towns who hate guns can't be putting in anti-gun ordinance. And they even went further in RSA 159-26. Roman numeral 2 says, upon the effective date of this section, and that was July 18th, 2003, so almost about 8 years ago, okay, all municipal ordinances and regulations not authorized under paragraph 1, which means by the state, relative to the sale, and it goes into the whole things, shall be null and void.
Exactly.
And the only thing... You know, and so what happened was, you and I have come across two things, ironically, in the past week. Number one is, last week, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, the town of Sandown enacted an ordinance that says no guns in these buildings. In other words, in all the town buildings. And you know the reason behind that?
No, I really don't.
Some woman went into City Hall with a gun on her belt.
Okay.
Well, she had a gun on her.
Well, you know, people walk around with cell phones strapped to their belts, and an argument can be made that cell phones kill people.
Yeah, they
operating a cell phone while they're operating a motor vehicle, and the two usually don't go hand in hand, but we don't bar people from carrying cell phones in their belts.
Yeah, oh no, they were just like, I was like, okay, so this woman came into town hall, what'd she do? Well, she came into, I think it was, you know, renew registration. I'm like, okay, then she did what? Well, then she left. I'm like, okay. So I guess her mere presence was enough to send them to the moon.
Okay.
And so, and one town employee was quoted, I don't have any problem telling them to leave, I'll just tell them to leave. Well, my issue is, why should people carrying firearms be told to leave?
Right. if they're not doing anything wrong with the firearms.
Oh, absolutely. To me, it's no different. You should be treated exactly the same with or without a firearm. If you're doing something illegal, you should be treated just like any person allegedly doing something illegal is. But if you're not, you should be allowed to walk around unmolested with your firearm. And the bottom line is, in this instance, is the mere fact of people having firearms is not a crime. And the mere fact of carrying them. And so sometimes what you see with summer coming around, and you see this every year to a certain degree, is that people, of course, wear lighter clothing in the summer because it's hotter. And they go, I'll just open carry rather than concealing, you know, because it's really harder under lighter clothes to conceal things.
Right. That's unless you want to carry a real tiny one, like a 380 or a 32. But
it's just a harder job to do. And so the bottom line in this particular instance is that you can't, you know, you got to expect some of these towns to be playing the games. And people have to call them on it right away, and people have to be willing to ignore the signs when they know they're illegal, and to file suit and make them remove the illegal ordinance. Because that's the bottom line, is if no one calls them on it, and if they're allowed to keep these signs up, they're getting away with breaking the law, but more importantly, they're getting away with violating your Second Amendment rights.
Well, and to the second town in question here, I'm going to talk about the city of Concord. I was out Friday afternoon. I had the opportunity to drive down Iron Works Road. And there's a park there, and I went and visited the City of Concord's website and found out that Russell Martin Park is listed under the Concord Department of Parks and Recreation as one of their facilities. There's a big orange sign. Actually, there's two big orange signs out there on Iron Works Road, both at the entrance and what I think is the exit to the road, and that is to the park. And that is a big orange sign that, among things, it says no weapons. So what I did was I shot off an email to David Gill, who's the recreation director, and I admit that I fired it off late afternoon, close to 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, but I thought, okay, that gives him Monday to get back to me. Well, I haven't heard back, and I just simply asked a few questions. Does this include any or all firearms? Was the approved weapons who approved the weapons ban and when? What was the statutory legal authority cited in creating the ban? Are there similar policies in place at other city parks and recreation facilities? What were the circumstances that prompted such a weapons ban? And what happens if someone is found to be in possession of this weapon? You know, are the police called? Does a recreation department staffer direct the person to leave, etc.? So I'm still waiting for a response. And I did say I was going to talk about this on Tuesday morning, so...
Yeah, and I think that you should get one, because I think the bottom line in this particular instance is I don't think they have, well, I know they don't have any statutory authority, and I can tell you that if I personally went to Russell Martin Park, which, as long as it's owned and controlled by the city of Concord, I'm going to feel free to carry my firearm. And I think anyone else should as well, if it's owned by the city of Concord or controlled by the city of Concord, and in that instance, they do not have the right to ban firearms.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if, let's say a group of Free Staters decide to show up and start picking up trash in the park, and they were open carrying firearms. I wonder what would happen then.
You know what? I think they should be able to continue to pick up trash and open carry. Because I'll tell you what, it's a good deed to go pick up trash. It's nice, you know, they have nice weather now. Everybody wants to get out and do something and give them a nice day out with the dogs if they have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that Concord, like any other cities or towns, cannot violate the laws of the state. In this particular instance, the state has what's called did preemption of the firearm statute. And what that means, of course, is that in areas where the state has carved out for itself, no one else can regulate, meaning cities and towns. And they've been very, very clear in the statute. I mean, they went above and beyond, and they even passed Roman numeral 2, which basically said any municipal ordinances in effect are null and void. That's as clear as it is that you guys can't regulate in that arena.
Right. So, in other words, there's no grandfather provision.
Absolutely. There's no grandfather provision. There's no gray area. There's no, oh, God, we didn't understand. And the bottom line is they have what I call that rich resource that we as taxpayers all pay for, which is really disgusting, called the Municipal Association. And if anybody ever wants to do right-to-know requests in their town or city, you will be appalled and outraged at where your tax dollars go, because most towns and municipalities are a member of what's called the Municipal Association. And if people look into that, that is what a gross abuse of our rights and money and power, if you will. That organization is designed, supposedly, okay, to help municipalities basically give them collective wisdom for their legal problems. Well, in the past, and I always keep hoping that it's changing, the Municipal Association has basically taken anti-gun stances every step of the way. I have never been in, I think I've been here 16 years, been to a hearing that all the pro-firearm people were on one side, and the Municipal Association's there going, oh, no, this is bad, bad. We were going there saying this is bad legislation. Municipal Association saying, no, this is good. This is so our members, cities and towns, can properly do their business.
All right, well, 1-866-823-1077. Kevin from Concord once has a question for you, Penny Dean, here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Hi, Kevin, how are you? Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Bulldog. Can you hear me?
I can now, yes.
Penny, I have a question for you. I believe you're an attorney, and I think maybe you can answer this question. I'm a taxpayer here in Concord, and I think, you know, the thing that really bugs me is what happened on March 2nd. The shooting of a mental health person with a gun with a Concord police officer, and that's really troubling to me. If Concord police can carry guns, I think anybody should be able to carry a gun, and I think anybody should be able to defend themselves. Even though it's okay for a Concord police officer to shoot somebody, but he's not getting any jail time. But if I went out to shoot somebody, I'd get jail time.
I'll tell you the thing that troubles me the most is that you see cases where police officers are involved in shootings, and typically they are exonerated with lightning speed, okay? And citizens are prosecuted with lightning speed in general. And that's what bothers me. Now, I don't know enough about that mental health person that was killed with a gun. I know general things that I've read in the paper, but I can't say I know, you know, a great deal of information other than what I've read in the paper about that person.
Right.
But I can tell you right now that in citizen-related issues, that citizens with firearms are treated just horribly, just horribly. And we have to change that. And the way we change it is by making them accountable. By, for example, many towns appoint their chiefs of police. We need to be electing chiefs of police.
Right.
Because I think that would make a huge difference. And I tell everyone, if they spend their life doing one thing in the town, it's making sure that chief of police is elected rather than appointed by the mayor or hired by the selectmen. Because I'll tell you what, when you do direct election of chiefs of police, I think you see a difference.
I'm afraid of a police officer now because I talked to a Concord police officer down at the State House, and I asked him about it, and he says, oh, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Well, yeah, you should be afraid. Now, how do I know if I'm in crisis, okay? How do I know if a Concord police is going to pull a gun on me? I don't know that.
Well, you know, I always tell people, and I'm actually serious about that, is that I pray to goodness I'm never in a self-defense scenario, because I'll tell you what, I know that I have a chance because I have a, you know, decent marksmanship skills and tactical skills of surviving an encounter. I don't like to go into it, but I tell them what I'm most afraid of is when I have to dial 911 and deal with police coming. That's what I'm afraid of.
Okay, well, Penny, I hope you can do something with the bill. I hope the bill passes where it is a law to carry a firearm down the street, you know?
Well, the problem is HB 330, which is the bill that's going on right now, is an absolutely horrible bill with horrible amendments.
Okay.
And so the concepts are good, but let me tell you one of my huge pet peeves. Right now, the Senate committee is considering two very serious amendments to HB 330. Both of them are horrible amendments. But let me tell you the problem. None of those amendments are on the website. So you have a Senate committee that's been considering amendments. Seriously, they've been presented to the committee probably about a week ago. And with today's technology, they're not on the website. So amendments to bills, which change bills dramatically, are hidden from the public.
Shame on my senator, son.
Yes, absolutely. And here's what I think needs to happen in the State House, and I've talked about this for a long time. When you have amendments offered to bills, they need to be put on the website with the text of the bill. And here is why. There was an article in I think it was the Concord Monitor last week, and forgive me for not remembering the representative's name, but they talked about a representative who had introduced a bill to do X, and it still bore his name. And what happened was the committee entered an amendment to the bill and makes it do exactly the opposite of X. okay? And whether X is good or bad, I'm not, you know, issuing an opinion in this particular case. But this poor representative's name is still attached to the bill and is going to be doing exactly the opposite of what he wanted. So this rep was complaining, and rightly so, saying, look, my name is still on this bill, and people are saying to me, why in the world would you sponsor not doing X?
Right.
And he said, I didn't. I sponsored doing X, and the committee put an amendment on it to do exactly the opposite. But this bill is still carrying his name, and, of course, people are calling him bad names and saying, why did you do this?
Okay.
And he's having to explain to them the process. And so my concern, and I want people, everyone to call their rep and senators and say, we need to change this, is whenever there is an amendment entered before a committee or a subcommittee that's going to be considered on a bill, I think it should be on the website for all to see, because
okay,
that just facilitates open government.
Okay, now is that my senator of Concord I should call? Or
yes, your senator of Concord and your representatives of Concord.
Okay, what's the bill number, 136, you said?
Oh, 330 is the bill number, 330.
Okay, very good, Penny. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for your call, Kevin. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, Penny, I want to talk a little bit more about House Bill 330, but before I go into this break here, I wanted to say about that process and how disgusting it can be sometimes. A year and a half ago or so, when we were covering reasonable compensation, and when Representative Susan Almy's bill came up, people from all over the state crowded into the committee hearing room, about 150 people, some traveling as far as from Littleton to be there. And they were all prepared to speak to a bill that had been put up on the website as introduced. And then 15 minutes into the hearing, Susan Almy, who was the sponsor of that bill, drops in an amendment that was written the night before by the Department of Revenue Administration, and nobody had the opportunity to look at it before they were called on to testify. I mean, this is how disgusting that process can be sometimes, and I think there needs to be a lot more transparency, so when you go to read the bill, any bill, you name the bill, and anytime there's an amendment being considered, they should put that up there as well, very prominent for people to see.
And I think the problem is, let's say even that particular thing where the amendment was written the night before, okay, that's not good, but let me tell you what's worse from my position. Even amendments that are quote-unquote written the night before, it's now been a week, why aren't they on the website? Okay, I understand, let's say you're shorthanded, blah, 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 all these excuses that I'm not necessarily buying, okay, but after that, okay, after Thursday's hearing or after Wednesday's hearing, whatever the hearing was last week in the Senate on HB 330, why aren't those amendments on the website now?
All right, let's talk about it next here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077 with Attorney Penny Dean here on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on The Pulse.